Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacob. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio, and I'm hearing a little garbled sound, okay? And I hope you folks are hearing me just clearly, so I'll find that out in just a few seconds when I bring our guests on. Our guests are from my good friends over at AESA, the Association of Educational Service Agencies. We've got Joan Wade, who is their executive director. Dr. Wade's a wonderful person. We got Dr. Mike Cook, who's the executive director in Hutchinson, Kansas, of ESTAC. We'll explain that in a second. And then also the director of ESTAC Learning Centers, we've got Rebecca Lewis Pankratz. And we'll bring them on. We're going to talk about how poverty affects education, okay, and what ESAs are doing about it, et cetera, et cetera. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on September 24th. It's a beautiful Tuesday here in New England. I hope it's beautiful. I think it is pretty nice all across the country, except in a few places. So I hope everybody's enjoying this fall weather. All right, we're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org, and you should really go over there. Our site has changed. We had it redesigned. It looks really nice. Okay, you can see all our past interviews, and you can go over to the news of products and services. Everything's changed. It looks pretty cool. I got to tell you, a big shout-out to Maya, who did that for me, Maya Appleby, who also was our vice president of graphics, et cetera, over at our magazine, which is Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity. That's our online journal, ACNE, which is doing fantastic. Thank you all for reading it and going over there. ace-ed.org is where it lives. ace-ed.org. It's all about what we're going to be talking about today, okay? Equity. Okay, we're going to be talking about accessibility, et cetera. That's what we do six times a year. Next year, we're just going up from quarterly, so please check out ace-ed.org. And starting in the next issue, AESA is going to be writing a column for us. All right, and that issue will be out in November, but you can check the back-to-school issue again, ace-ed.org. Okay, let me make sure my voice is clear after I said all that. Let's start with Joan, if we can get her here. Hope we can. There you go,
Good
Joan,
morning,
you there?
Good morning, Larry. I am okay, here, and I'm excited to be with you today.
And I'm thrilled you're here as well. I'm so happy you're here. And can you hear me clearly? Am I clear? It was just kind of garbly when I put the music on.
You are clear as a bell.
There you go. I love it. All right. And I'm from the land of the Liberty Bell. Philadelphia is my hometown, so that works. Thank you very much. That was a long way to go for a bad segue, I got to tell you. So that was really bad. Okay, we'll move right
good.
On.
That's good.
That was really a long stretch. All right, let's see. Mike, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Great. Mike, how you doing?
With you today, Larry.
Okay.
I'm doing
can you
great.
Hear him clearly? Joan, can you hear Mike clearly?
I can hear Mike just fine. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Joan.
Okay. Mike, are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm using my headphones.
Okay. To me, it's a little garbly, but as long as Joan can hear you, it's okay. Rebecca, what about you? Are you there, Rebecca Lewis Pankratz?
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning, Rebecca.
Excited to be here.
I can't wait to have this conversation. This is good. This is going to be good. And we are talking about, thank you both. How's the weather in Kansas, by the way, the middle of the country?
Beautiful.
Rebecca.
We are stepping into fall.
Good girl. It's turning. We got leaves turning up here. How about where you are, Joan, in Minnesota? You got leaves turning?
I'm in Wisconsin, actually, just
south
of Minnesota.
Sorry.
But
yeah.
That's okay. The leaves have not started turning here, but it's right around the corner. You can feel the weather changing, and it's a beautiful sunny day in Wisconsin. So we're
supposed
really
to be nice all over the country. Yeah, it's supposed
yeah
to be nice
it makes everybody
apple.
Feel better, doesn't it?
It sure does. We've been having this Indian summer, and our leaves are starting to turn, okay? But, of course, we live in New England. We expect that. Come visit. Drive through. Have a lobster. Come and visit us this fall. It's beautiful here, okay? Poverty is our topic today, okay? And, Mike, I'm going to start with Joan. Joan, just tell everybody what AESA does. Let's just start there.
Sure. AESA is an Association of Educational Service Agencies. We are a national association and have membership in each of the states of educational service agencies that work with local school districts, both private and public, and they do a lot of professional development. And we, as a national association, have had a particular focus the last couple of years on opportunity for all,
mm-hmm.
and making sure we have make equity a big priority,
yeah.
for our members. And one of our leaders in this area is clearly ESDAC in Kansas,
yeah.
who is with us today, and I'm real excited for you to hear their story, and the work they have been doing around poverty is phenomenal.
I can't wait to hear. We're going to spend a lot of time with them today, and I just want to say AESA is a great organization. The educational service agencies, and I said this before, to me are the hidden part of education. A lot of people don't even know they exist, but they do. And every school district in the country where there are ESAs in those states, which I think is about 47 of them, need to tap in, okay, because there is power in numbers, and they are so helpful. These are called BOCES in New York, or regional service units in other states, et cetera, but they're all educational service agencies, all right? And Joan has been so excited. By the way, the conference is coming up. We're in Colorado Springs in December, right, Joan?
No, our conference last year was in Colorado, but this year we are in Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living in the time
warp
here. I knew that.
Yeah, we actually just wrapped up our advocacy conference in Washington, D.C., and so now we are getting ready for our annual conference, which is in
Phoenix,
Arizona, on December 4th through the 7th.
And I tried to finagle ways to go, and I couldn't figure out a way to get out there, which really ticked me off. I'm still trying. Okay. I may get there yet. I'm going to try. I really am. Okay.
We'd love to have you.
And Mike, are you going to go to Phoenix, Mike Cook?
I'll certainly be there.
You better be. You taking Rebecca with you? What about you taking Rebecca? Oh, right.
Well,
Rebecca
is tied up that week. So.
Right. You know, I think I'm having trouble hearing you. Can you pick up your receiver and get off the headset? I am really having trouble hearing you, Mike.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
I'm hearing that phone. So
yeah, I'm here. Well, you know what you do? Sometimes this works. Wait a minute, Mike. Hang up and call back in. Sometimes that just clears the connection.
Let me do that.
And I'll talk
to
Rebecca in the meantime. Okay.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Great. Rebecca.
So while Mike.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, while Mike is calling back in, and Rebecca knows this as well, ESDEC has been a huge supporter,
yeah.
of the AESA annual conference. And every year Mike brings out several employees. And Rebecca, I know you have been there many, many times.
Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing you there again this year.
Yes,
Rebecca.
It's an amazing event. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Very well.
Okay, great. Okay.
Yeah, and it is amazing. Made all the more by you. And I want Mike. He's back. Let me just swing over to him. I want to see if he's clear. Mike, you there?
Yes. Good morning.
It's better.
Are
I got
still...
news for you. Tell us about ESDAC.
ESDAC is one of those agencies that lives in Kansas, and we do work all over the country, primarily though in Kansas. But
mm-hmm.
we focus on helping redesign schools to make each student successful. Thus, the push that we've had the last 2.5 years to ensure equity and poverty is addressed, and especially now the trauma-informed situations that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes. Yes, and we've been doing quite a number of shows. In fact, I just did a show. You'll like this, Joan. I just did a show with Port Washington, Saukville, Wisconsin, all about, I think it was either this week or late last week, about trauma-informed and what they're doing, and they were so impressive. I asked them to write an article about a little case study for the magazine. Okay?
Wonderful.
What they're doing there is unbelievable, just so you know that. And, Mike, you are dead on right. Okay? The whole idea, that's why we publish our magazine, Equity and Accessibility. Okay, and you add into that the challenge of what's happening with kids in traumatic situations. It's really something. It's really something. Okay, and Mike, how long have you been executive director there?
This is my 22nd year.
So it's a temporary position?
Yeah, very temporary.
Sorry to hear
that. When I grow up, I'm gonna find something to do.
like Peter Pan. When Mike grows up, he's going to buy the real thing he wants to do 22 years. Congratulations. And, Mike, you said something that struck me. This is unusual for somebody in the ESA to say. You said that you work all over the country, but mostly in Kansas. Okay, most ESA folks I talk to work only in their area. What did you mean when you say you work all over the country, Mike?
Well, we have services that we extend out to school districts that we met through conferences or through the internet, searching for solutions. And we send our people into their districts and into other service centers to help train their folks on some of our processes. So, and then we have several conference keynote speakers that work for us, and they've gone into different states and did keynote conferences and
nice.
And then follow up with training on the grounds. So.
Well, that's nice. And I know you folks, especially Rebecca, from what I'm understanding, this is what Joan is so excited about. Rebecca, you've been doing a lot of work with children, school districts, whatever, in poverty, okay? And its effect on education, on children, and I know you're trying to correct all these things. So I'm going to just swing over to you, okay? Rebecca, you're director of the Learning Centers through ESSEC. Tell everybody what you do and where your concerns are, et cetera, et cetera. Rebecca.
Yeah, so our learning centers in Kansas that I'm over, they're high school completion programs for dropouts. So primarily we serve a population of folks in their 20s. They're young parents and they're trying to pull their lives together by finishing their high school diploma. In a couple of centers that we have, we also have kids that have been excused from the district school to come to us and try and figure out how to finish things before they age out. And so that's the learning centers in a nutshell. But we also do poverty projects, and those poverty projects are called core communities. And we are currently in 7 communities with these projects. We have 225 adults that we're working with, mostly parents, and I don't know, a couple hundred kids that live in those households, and they come to us for a 2 to 5 year process to get completely out of financial poverty, never to return. And so we're really healing these families out of poverty, which, as you guys know, the work of public education, if we can get to the families where these this stress and this trauma and this poverty is occurring and change the lives of the adults who are important to our kids, like all of a sudden the narrative changes, it shifts.
It does shift, and to get to the families, and again, I'm going to say another example. I was talking about trauma-informed education with Washington County, Utah, where St. George is, and that school district is – you just said it a minute ago, Rebecca. You're absolutely right. They get into the homes before the kids ever come to school, and they try to get these kids acclimated and introduce the teachers and all that. Okay, and it's really something. But what I don't – and you have to help me here. Hutchinson, Kansas. I say the words Hutchinson, Kansas. Okay, and I guarantee you most of our audience is saying, oh, what a beautiful, lovely place. Okay, and I'm sure it is. All right. So is there a lot of poverty there? What are we talking about in the districts that you serve? Are you going beyond your regional area? How's this work in relation to what you're doing at the ESA at ESSEC?
So we are definitely going beyond the Hutchinson community. Over the last 10 years, we have seen a sharp increase in our free and reduced lunch numbers all across Kansas, and I think that's probably reflective of what's happening in the nation. And so when I say that we're in these multiple communities, we are from the west end of Kansas all the way to the central part of Kansas down south with these poverty projects. And so the ones that we have the most power in are the ones where our districts, our school districts, have helped us design, launch, and embed these practices with community members and families to get them out of poverty permanently. As you know, this is a very complex issue, and it takes all of us to show up and seek new solutions and build these relationships. You know, and so the interesting thing about trauma-informed and poverty is you use the same resilience-building frameworks, which are highly relational, highly empowering, You know, we're starting to understand that when we see these behaviors and these families and these kids, that that's their best solution. And through relationships, we connect with people and begin to heal brains, and they find more solutions and their lives change. And so, you know, we don't get anybody out of poverty. Families get themselves out, but it is a long-term, messy process. But relationships are at the center of all of this. This is how we heal brains. That's what the science is telling us. And, you know, I'm a living example of that in my own life. And so I'm very passionate about this. And to date, you know, in the projects that we've started in the last couple of years, we've already gotten 21 adults and 11 children out of financial poverty. So, you know, their total annual income increase when you combine that group together is $577,000 a year that those families are earning more than they were when they showed up to us. And so we're bringing families to $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year incomes and changing their lives forever. They're off of assistance. They're buying homes. They're getting married. Their kids are getting off of medicine. And you know with these kind of transformations in a home that the way these kids are showing up in a classroom is profoundly different because they can learn because the stress of all of this is off of them. And so, you know, we're really in the business of transformation here, and it's working. By 2023, our goal is to have 600 rural families in our organization working on this and to have 100 adults out with their children. And so, you know, we just launched a project in Greenville, Illinois. So, you know, we're just going wherever the energy takes us, where communities say, we want this solution. We want to see families' lives change. We want to stop this generationally.
You got to break the cycle. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. And I loved your line, healing brains. And by the way, I don't know if you want to get into this, it's up to you. You mentioned that you came out of a poverty stricken, economic status at one point. Okay. And look where you are now. You're unbelievable. Okay. And so, exactly what these people are going through. But I have a question that I think people are asking, and we're talking to educators here, and I definitely understand, and we can talk about this further, the role of poverty, the challenge of poverty and its effect on education. But that's a huge leap to get dollars and make that big long-term effort, okay, that you are doing. How'd that all come about? I mean, that's easy to say now. It's in business, and you're working in other states and all that. What are your solutions, and how did it come about? I mean, that's amazing that you were able to put all this together and develop something that actually works. What is that? And Rebecca, I'll ask you, and you can swing it over to Mike anytime if you want to.
Okay, yeah. So we go into communities where we're called, and then an advisory board is established, and then we begin a fundraising process from the community, from grants, from different organizations and groups, and then we hire staff. Then we recruit families, and then we start the process. And so each community takes this on themselves. I always tell people we don't need a hill to save us. Our brilliance lies within our communities. It lies within our relationships. And so all of these communities that I'm talking about, they all have replicated this process and have these families now that they're working with. And it's so amazing because, you know, as I go into these communities and I listen to the middle class, they're like, you know, we started this thing to change these families, and these families are changing us. So everybody transforms, right?
Yeah.
And we're building this connection, this core connected community where people are healing and lives are changing. And the finances are just one component of that. Again, these families come to us in a 2 to 5 year process. And I always tell schools are doing stuff on the daily in the classroom, and we're figuring out trauma informed. We're figuring out how to help our kids with stressed out brains to really get into that space where they can learn. But communities have to step up and support schools because schools can't do this by themselves. We've got to have a multi-generational approach. And schools have to understand that this is going to take a larger swath. And more brains at the table.
Right, it is, and I'm just trying to probe into this a little bit more because I do get it. Okay, you're an educational service agency, Mike. You asked this.
Mm-hmm.
You're an educational service agency. Okay, now you're going in, and who are you talking to first? Are you talking to the schools? Are you talking to the community, and then they talk to the schools? Where's the beginning of the process into any given area that you're talking about? And again, I'll ask Mike, but if you want, you can swing it to Rebecca, who really, truly is an expert on this. Mike?
Well,
Well, let me just say that we start at the superintendent level because that's where I have the connection point. And
right.
Then typically there's a discussion with the Board of Education. While that's going on, Rebecca is doing her magic with with administrators and staff, and then it rolls into the community. So I'm going to let Rebecca explain that in detail. So,
yeah, so I typically go in and do a three-day training over the course of a year, so a longitudinal process to really help staff understand the brain and trauma and poverty and stress and really lay out the groundwork, the foundational groundwork. At the end of those 3 days, we get buy-in from a building to move forward and go into a pilot year with trauma-informed. Trauma-informed in and of itself in a building is a 3 to 5 year process to really get this mm-hmm. energy and get it cooking the way it's supposed to. And out of that, there's always a pastor's wife or somebody in there that's going, oh my gosh, we have these families. My spouse is looking at doing this in the community and a solution just walked in our door. And so it's always been this kind of energy that we've followed in communities through relationships and a desire to change this in rural communities. I mean, all the families know who each other are in the rural communities. You just know. You're not isolated like you are in an urban population. And not that this doesn't work in urban settings, but so that's really how the process has just evolved to this. I think by next year we'll have 5 new communities launched. And so it is a huge undertaking, but it is powerful and it works. So it's not us just throwing things at the wall and hoping something sticks. We're actually getting families out of $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 a year incomes, which
yeah.
then changes the classroom experience for kids.
What are you doing? How are you getting them? How are you getting them to get more to make a greater income?
We have to understand that this is a brain issue. This is a brain issue, and it's really not even a money issue. And so some of the powerlessness and the overwhelm and the isolation that really conjures up the survival brain in
mm-hmm.
in a family, in a person, those are the places that we work through connection, trust, safety, community, relationships, and contribution. We pull these parents in out of poverty, and we don't treat them like they're a deficit model or like they're broken. We say, you guys are the experts in your community on poverty. You know things about poverty that nobody else can know, and we need you to come to the table and help us solve it. So we're not fixing families. We're inviting them into a process, and then we lay out all of the best thinking we have around poverty and middle class and wealthy and help them understand. And families set goals, and they know, here's my number to get out. You know, we use 200% of the federal poverty guideline in Kansas. That's where you need to get out to be at the front porch of middle class. So families have a direction. And so that's, you know, that's just part of the process. Then after they go through their first 20-week class, we match them with middle class friends. They're not mentors, they're just friends. And they cheerlead these families on as they finish schooling or start schooling or, you know, take an apprenticeship or, you know, earn extra income to meet that goal of 200% of the federal poverty guideline. And so it's this holistic approach. And again, these families are the experts, and that's how they're treated in our projects. They're not treated like projects. They're treated as the heart and
the
North Star of our projects.
It's what they bring to the table, and the goal is within themselves. Okay, and you
so
can,
Larry,
you
I
can
gotta,
make this happen. Yeah, go.
I'm presenting in about 5 minutes at a conference here in Kansas, so
oh,
I got to step
right.
out. But I'm so glad that you are having this conversation because it matters. Life can change, and we have power to do that. So thank you, Joan. It's good to hear you too, honey.
And let me
thanks,
just say
Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca. Thank
okay.
you. We're going to get you back on
yes.
on a day when you have a little
okay,
more time.
Great.
I want to talk
okay.
about this in greater detail. So we're going to make sure this happens. Okay, thank you. Okay, now go speak. Go speak. They'll miss you. Go speak. Okay? Great. Okay, we're back.
She's heading out the
here.
Door.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Mike, you know, all this is wonderful.
Yeah.
It truly is. Okay, and we all think it's great. Nobody would argue with that. But I am curious, okay? You said it started with the superintendents, and so the goal at the end is not, I'm going to say this properly, we want these people to come out of poverty and see the beauty within themselves and the income earning potential within themselves, but that's going to lead to better education. Is our goal at the end. And how do we know that that's working in that regard? Mike, what do you hear from your superintendent buddies where this started?
Well, what we're hearing right now is because our
talk a little louder.
So,
a little louder.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
That's okay.
Hang on here. Let me make sure I'm all the way loud here. So our focus has always been on helping each child be successful. And what we came to recognize was that we have a population we're not reaching. And it is centered on students who are not successful in the traditional model. They were dropping out or just walking out, and then they would end up in our learning centers.
Yep.
So
with two kids at age 19. Yeah.
Right. And they're making $10 an hour thinking they're making more money than they'll ever need. And 5 years from now, they're still making that. And and then in our rural communities, they go back and stay there, and then they run for the school board. So, so this cycle was just brutal. And we have these learning centers, and one day, about December, our director, who was a very good certified teacher, went to work for higher ed. And we were sitting at a leadership meeting, and we said, here's the problem. It's not these kids can't learn. It's not that they don't want to. It's we're not reaching them with relationships. And we went out and were blessed. And I think, I really truly believe that the good Lord has a plan, and we have to be prayerful and just let sometimes things happen. But Rebecca was available to come to work for us, and so we hired her, and she is not a certified teacher. Her story is absolutely amazing. But we put her in charge of the learning.
I didn't want to go into it today. I know a little bit of her background. I just didn't want to go into it today. We're going to bring her back on. We'll make sure. But you go ahead.
Yeah. So we were able to hire her, and we had a pretty good guess that about 98% of our kids in these learning centers were living in poverty, some in cars, under bridges, homeless, whatever. And our focus was to get to those families and figure out how to bring the whole family out. And quite honestly, there's a lot of great research out there on collective impact, and this project is truly fits into that research. The idea that you bring together first responders, ministries in your community, foundation people, school board members, and they put together meetings at night, and they run these classes, and they teach about middle class rules, and you would be shocked at the rules we have that we don't even know we have. And and so they learn about that, and then they learn about going to work, and we do set them up with they're called allies. They're mentors. They're friends. And these folks, when things get tough, they call those mentors or those allies, and they get coached through it. Our goal is not to be in those communities forever. We want to make them self-sufficient in about a year and a half to 2 years, because there's no way we could do it all. And we don't want to. We want them to do it. We also, just so there's a bigger picture behind this, we work with a big foundation in South Central Kansas called Youth Core Ministries, and all the money that's raised to fund this work is shoveled into that foundation, because, as you know, if you put many, many little foundations under one umbrella, you got leverage, and you can work to get more money and so forth. And this is not it costs money to do this work.
Sure.
It's just all there is to it. So we leverage volume and make things happen. So there's a lot of neat things going on.
Yeah. I was looking at Joan. Okay, is ESSTAC exceptional in terms of ESAs?
So that's a really good question. I will tell you, Larry, that as
I
travel the country,
there
are, the ESDAC is exceptional in their entrepreneurial way of looking at the business of education and trying to, this work that they're doing in poverty, Mike's got data that can back up the difference they are making in the state of Kansas and beyond. And I don't know, Mike, if you're ready to share that data with us, but it would be really interesting to hear. They are exceptional that way. They're exceptional in the services that they bring to the greater community, not just to education itself, but the greater community that they're serving,
yes,
pulling these people out of poverty. There are
unbelievable,
awesome ESAs, educational service agencies all across the country doing some phenomenal work. And that's why I really appreciate being a part of your podcast, because we really want to tell their stories like what ESDAC is doing.
Right. And, you know, this, I mean, this is phenomenal. This is phenomenal. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, Larry, and Joan's right. Every ESA across the country is really designed to meet the local needs and the regional needs. And as she said, every one of them brings a beautiful gift to the table to help the schools and kids. And some just, you know, like ESDAC trails off and goes down a rabbit trail, and they have crazy directors, and, you know, we just do the next thing. But ultimately,
yeah, you do.
You know, I think when that vision is clear and it's crystal clear that you want to make sure each child is successful, now you have to shift and think about, okay, every child has a gift, and we just got to uncover it. And currently, we have a system that teaches to the masses, and we need to figure out what turns each individual to be engaged in their own personal learning. And if we do that, we can solve a lot of problems in the world. We can change the world, Larry. Schools in this country can change the world. I totally believe that.
Yeah, you can, and you're doing it, and it's just amazing. And by the way, I was looking at your website, and I love the way you always spell poverty, and you P-O-V-E-R-T-Y, but then you put in capitals within poverty the word over. I noticed that.
That's, yeah, and that's by design, of course. And
and
we mean it.
It really sense. And you know, I'll tell you, Mike, this is a real challenge, as you well know. This is a real challenge throughout education everywhere, this poverty thing. And it's just astounding that in our country, think about what we're talking about here, in this country, okay, that there's this much poverty. We have to devote show after show after show to it, okay? And, you know, it's just something that we really have to think about. We really have to help these kids. And I have to ask, you're in Kansas, which is like my state, Maine. It's a pretty rural state. Okay, you got a couple of the big cities, but it's pretty rural. Have you done your work? I got the impression most of the work you're dealing with is rural poverty. Poverty's poverty, but there's differences.
Right.
Okay, rural poverty. Have you tried it in the big urban areas or anything like that?
Well, of course, the bigger communities in Kansas, Topeka, Wichita, Kansas City, those type of communities. At this point, what we do is Rebecca a lot of times is requested to come in and do a poverty simulation. It's about a two-hour simulation that she created that just really brings people, I don't mean this dramatically, but it brings you to your knees, because you come out of there scratching your head thinking, what's going on here? What are we missing?
Yeah.
Our work? And we usually do it with teachers, business community folks, administrators. And then, of course, that leads to the big question, okay, what are we going to do? And so we're at that introductory stage with the bigger communities because, of course, our neighborhood is a rural community. So they latch on first, and then the next level will be, you know, the whole state, and then beyond the wheat fields of Kansas. So,
yeah, and do you want school districts from around the country to get in touch with you?
I do. I think this problem is, first of all, it is mind-blowing to me that in this country, of the things we are blessed with, that we
have a poverty issue. Yeah,
it's
unbelievable.
It's off the chart. It's, well,
yeah, I'm worried.
Quite honestly,
I'm worried if my BMW doesn't start and AAA doesn't get here on time. That's my worry.
Yeah, this is unacceptable, and that's all I can say about it. And so, yes, we would love to talk to other folks. We'd love to train them because we can't be everywhere. It's what we need to do. It's the right thing.
Larry, I think one of the really important things for your listeners to understand is there isn't a silver bullet to fix poverty. It's not an app. It's not something you can buy. It's not an easy solution.
Right. Thank you.
But every single community, rural, suburban, urban, really have the answers within their own community. They just need the tools, if you will, to
understand
how to reach people living in poverty and empowering them, empowering families to be able to earn a living wage and to lift themselves out of poverty. And it's not something that we can throw a whole lot of money at. It's these resources that ESDAC is able to bring into a community and help them find their own solutions. It's hard.
I think it's hard work.
It's heavy lifting. But yeah, it's so encouraging and so much hope.
Oh my God,
on how to solve the problem.
It's unbelievable. And you're right. There is no silver bullet. Wait, I just want to make sure everybody knows this. ESDAC, ESSDAC.org. They're in Kansas.
Correct.
And then AESA.us. Okay, and either website will help you and to let you get in contact with them. Hey, Joan, you're writing your column for our magazine, AC&E. Is it about this?
Yeah. You caught me off guard there, Larry.
It could be
about this. I'd need Rebecca's assistance, which I'm sure she would be happy to give it to me.
Let's talk about this, because if you're not going to focus on this In your column, we can do an article on this, a real article, as opposed to a column.
Sure. My intention in the column is to talk about educational service agencies as a whole and the types of work that they're doing. And this would be a short example, but I think you need to do a deeper dive in a full
column. We are
going to
do a deeper dive. That's why I asked the question. So, Mike, I'm going to send you an email today. Okay, about writing an article in our magazine. Okay, what's your email? Can you give it out?
It's M. Cook, just like in the kitchen. COOK at ESDAC.org.
Got it. Okay,
and,
you'll hear
Larry,
from me,
Larry. I don't want to throw a commercial in here, but we do two big events where we try to get a lot of information out and a lot of these tools out that Joan mentions that we just all need. And one of them's coming up in November. We do a poverty conference in Wichita. And we do that. We're going to do that on November 14th and 15th. And
November 14th and 15th in Wichita.
Yeah, and we actually have parents and kids who have come out of poverty and some that are in the process get on stage and address educators. It's really heavy. We have to be careful with the emotional part of it. In Kansas City on in April, I think it's 23rd and 24th, we do more of a national approach. And that conference is focused on poverty and trauma and building resilience in the children and the families and the teachers. Because what we find is...
And these are ESDAC conferences that are national. Anybody's invited.
Yes, they're absolutely. We're just trying to get the word out. And we bring in some... Well, Mr. Adam Foss is going to be our keynote speaker in Kansas City. He is... focused on oh, good grave, I just lost this term. Anyway, reforming the justice system, if you will.
Okay.
He's a prosecutor who helps try to keep people out of jail.
We're talking about social justice. We're talking about social justice.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the phrase I was looking for.
School to prison pipeline. Okay, we got to take care of this.
It's off
Mike, this
charts.
Is good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to look for an email from me in just a few minutes. I'll get that to you.
Sure.
All right, and we're going to talk about this. And by the way, that conference, I just looked it up. It's called Moving the Needle, right? That's the one in November that's in Wichita, which, by the way, everybody, is easy to get to. Okay, so it's sdac.org. Okay, and this is a whole new dimension of educational service agencies that is so important. And again, it's aesa.us. We got to go, guys. We're running out of time, but you're both going to heaven. Tell Rebecca she is too.
Well, I hope so.
Send me a postcard. Send me a postcard.
All right.
Okay, but we're going to talk about this. All right. Thank you both, Mike. You're doing a great job.
Thank
you. Just incredible. Okay. Thank you as always, Dr. Wade.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you,
bye.
Larry, for the kind words. Appreciate you.
Oh, my pleasure. And you deserve it. Bye-bye. Okay, we got to go, folks. Wow, are they incredible or what? That's SDAC, ESSDAC.org. All right, unbelievable. All right, and AESA.us. We'll archive the show, education-talkradio.org. Tweet it at EduTalkRadio. And please check out ace-ed.org, our magazine, okay, which is an online journal, Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity, ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.